I want to begin by thanking the sponsors of this week's virtual drasha, to thank Neil and Pam Weissman for dedicating the drasha in memory of Pam's mother. This is Bashi Rachman, Zichrono Livracha, Basia Bashalom Akiva. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama have an aliyah and the family a Nechama. Parshas Korach to me has always been one of the most traumatic parshios. You know, we come off Parshas Shlach and we read of the sin of the miracle and the sin of the spies. And we think to ourselves, you know, when we read these stories, if you could imagine, if you are reading these stories for the first time without any background, you would think to yourself, you know what, okay, Meraglim, we've kind of hit the bottom of the barrel. This is the bottom. It can't get any worse than this. They've maligned the land of Israel. They've maligned Moshe Rabbeinu. They've maligned HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's been decreed that they're going to die in the desert. The next generation will go in, destined to roam the desert for 40 years. Okay, you know what? That's it. Mamish can't get worse. And then Parshas Korach comes around and it gets worse. It gets worse. Korach, a cousin of Moshe Rabbeinu, launches a rebellion, essentially a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. And remember, every single time there's an attack against Moshe, the attack against Moshe is always also a veiled attack, sometimes not even so veiled, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In this case, it was against Moshe and Aaron, and also against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At least ostensibly, the rebellion was based on the fact that Korach was accusing Moshe Rabbeinu of nepotism and abuse of power. He says, Moshe, essentially, you've taken the reins of your leadership, and you've given yourselves, your brother, your family members, immediate family members, all positions of power. Of course, the subtext to this is that Korach himself felt that he was passed over for a promotion within the ranks of Am Yisrael. And so Korach launches a rebellion. Of course, again, the rebellion has nothing to do with Korach, because Korach doesn't want to come across as petty, or doesn't want to come across that he's doing this in order for his own self-advancement or his own particular needs. See, frames it, of course, is that he is the champion of the rights of the common man. Kulam kidoshim, everyone is holy. Umadua tisnasaka, why is it that you lord over? Why is it that you go ahead and you abuse your power to lord over, to rule over the Jewish people? And we know the story. The story has such a horrific ending. The Gemara speaks about, again, that the earth opens up, swallows up Korach and all of his followers. And again, not just his followers, but their families as well. And Rashi HaKadosh comments and he says, from here you see the great power, Koach Shel Machlokes, how destructive Machlokes, how destructive infighting is, that even the women and children were swept away in this Machlokes as well. Even they lost their lives as well. Now, one would have thought that that would have been enough to kind of quell the dissent, but it's not. Instead, again, people now accuse Moshe Rabbeinu of killing all of these people, 250 plus people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu then comes along and says, okay, there's one final thing we're going to do to cement Moshe and Aaron's role within Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, I want you to go ahead and collect from the Jewish people staffs. I want you to take 12 staffs from the 12 tribes, put the 12 staffs inside of the Mishkan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, ultimately, again, I will show a sign. I will show a sign. Va'yayish asher evchar bo matei Yifrach, the man who I will choose to be the Kohen Gadol. The man who I will choose to be the Kohen Gadol, his staff will blossom. Vashikosi me'alai es t'loros b'nei zashem alim aleichem. And with this last sign, I will take away any complainers. People will no longer have the ability to complain that you're assigning roles on your own. They'll see whoever staff blossoms, he is the one who's chosen to be the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so we know the story. Moshe Rabbeinu goes in and collects 12 staffs, one from each tribe, places it in the Mishkan. The Torah relates, this is in Perek Yitzayin, Pasuk of Gimel, chapter 17, verse 23. Vayimi macharas, Moshe Rabbeinu leaves the staffs in the Mishkan, and then he leaves. Comes back the next day. Vayova Moshe Oel Ha'idus, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the Mishkan, v'hinei parach mata Aaron lebeis Levi. And what happens? The staff of Aaron, which belongs to the tribe of Levi, blossomed. Vayotze parach, vayatze tzitz, vayigamol shkedim. And the staff, it sprouted forth a flower. Parach is a flower, right? Vayotze tzitz, a bud, vayigamol shkedim. And ultimately it produced almonds. So an incredible miracle. It was only the staff of Aaron that went ahead and it blossomed again, bearing almonds. Now, interestingly enough, the Gemara points out, already the Mefarshim point out, that it doesn't just say that it blossomed almonds. Instead, what does it say? That it blossomed, Vayotze Perche, produced a flower, Vayotze Tzitz, a bud, And then also, almonds. So just a crash course in almond maturation. So again, when the almond is blossoming, first it's a flower, then it develops into a bud, and then ultimately, again, what's left at the end is the actual almond itself. So the Gemara says something amazing. So first of all, the Das Akenim says, "Demitzad echad parach, va'osan prachim amdu v'lo naflu me'olam, u'mitzad echad va'yotzei parach va'nafal kider." So what the Das Akenim says something very interesting. He says the way this staff blossomed was on one side was the flowers, and the flowers, the flowers themselves, the parach, never fell off. It remained. On the other side was the bud. The bud then became the almonds. The bud fell off and the almonds remained. So the beauty of the staff was one side flowers, the other side almonds. Okay, just an interesting idea. The Das Akenim doesn't explain, so why? In other words, this is not normal almond maturation. Normally, again, you have the flower falls off, gives way for the bud, or becomes the bud. The bud then opens up, becomes the almond, the bud falls away, you're left with the almonds. Yet the Das Akenim says this staff was different. Flowers remained on, buds fell off, almonds remained. One side flowers, one side almonds. Shalom al Yisrael. What's interesting to note is the Gemara. So the Gemara says something very interesting. Sorry, the Gemara says, this is a Gemara Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara speaks about the various things that were placed inside of the Aron, or I should say were stored together with the Ark. That actually, again, when the ark was hidden away, so there are other things that were hidden away along with the ark. The Gemara says, "V'yishomrim af maklo shel Aron." The staff of Aaron was also hidden away with the ark. It was stored with the ark, and then when the Aron was hidden away, so the staff was hidden away as well. But listen to the wording of the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Af maklo shel Aron shkedeha upracheha nignizu." When the staff was hidden away, Shkedeha, its almonds, and its flowers were hidden away as well. And the Das Akenim comments in this Gemara, and it says, you see from here, Michlal de Prachim hayu va'amdu mi'olam. What do you see from here? You see from here that on the staff of Aaron, all of the components of the almonds remained. The almond, the final product, was there, but also the flowers and the buds remained as well. Everything was, or at least the flowers and the almonds were there. And the question is obvious. I understand why the staff was stored, right? That staff was the everlasting reminder that Aaron was indeed the chosen high priest, was the chosen Kohen Gadol. But why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the miracle that the buds and the flowers remained as well? I mean, even the Das Akenim seems to indicate that the buds fell away, but other opinions say, no, the buds remained as well. So that if you looked at this staff of Aaron, you saw the flowers, the buds, and the actual fruit, the actual almonds. And the question is why? And obviously it was so important that even when the staff was hidden away, the flowers and the buds were kept together with it. Why? And Reb Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in a Sefer Drash Moshe, says something so beautiful. He explains, he says, the almond, the fruit, represents literally the fruits of the labor, represents the conclusion, the completion of the endeavor, right? The almond, the fruit, is what you get after you've put in all of the effort. You work hard, you plant, you till, whatever you do to get almonds, right? And then ultimately, again, you have the almond. It represents the completion. It represents a success. It represents the finish line. Says Rav Moshe, what does the flower and the bud represent? It represents the process. It represents the necessary steps in order to get you to the almond. You see, you can't have the almond without the flower. And you can't even have the bud without the flower. You need the flower, you need the bud, and only then do you get the almond. The flower and the bud, says Rav Moshe Zecher Tzadik Livracha, represent the effort that you put in to the actualization of your life initiatives. And I want to read to you a word from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says, when it comes to effort in life, Rav Moshe writes, in life, people think the effort is not what matters. What matters are the results. Don't tell me about what effort you put in. Don't tell me about how hard you tried. Don't tell me about how hard you worked. Show me results. Show me the almonds. Show me the pre. In fact, he says, and most times in life, people don't really even enjoy effort. They don't enjoy effort. In fact, again, how much time is spent on developing effort-saving mechanisms and procedures, right? We try to minimize effort because there's no real value in the effort. It's not the effort that's meaningful. It's the result. Look at the right. The yoser hayanechalo im hayazebelo ha'amal. What would I like even better? I'd like to get results without effort. That's what I would like the most. Results without effort. That's preferred. If you could get me the almonds and bypass the flowers and the buds, matovu manoim, even better. Even better. Besez Ramosha. That is not how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. In the world in which the Ribono Shel Olam created, if you want almonds, there must first be a flower and then a bud, and then, and only then, is there an almond. If you're not willing to tend to that almond tree and make sure that the tree first produces its flowers and then nurture it a little bit more and produces buds and then nurture it a little bit more and then it's going to produce almonds, you will not get the end result. Or in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just as important as the almond results in life are the flower and bud efforts. Effort that we expend is not just simply a necessary evil. It's not just a means to get to the ends of the result, but the effort in life itself is incredibly meaningful as well. You see, if we're honest with ourselves, and I think as we get older, we recognize this, and I think certainly during these times when we're rethinking so many things in life, we recognize this. Very rarely in life do you control the results. Very rarely in life do you control the almonds. The almonds are often in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only things I really do control are the flowers and the buds. I control the effort that I put in. I control how hard I work. I control if I'm really willing to roll my sleeves up and put in the necessary initiative and mamish life labor. And that was the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to convey. You see, to be a Kohen Gadol, what's the Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol is the holiest person in the people, and the holiest person in the nation, holiest person in the land. What does it take to become a Kohen Gadol? What does it take? So you might think, well, the kahuna, at the end of the day, the kahuna, is not really something you earn, it's something you get, right? Remember again, if your father's a Kohen, you're a Kohen. Your grandfather's a Kohen, you're a Kohen. Whether you're a good guy, not a good guy, if it's in the family, it's in the family. That's true to be a Kohen. Meaning there are certain things in life that you inherit. Is that right? Each of us, we have genes, right? And my gene pool dictates certain things about me. My gene pool will go ahead and dictate the color of my eyes or the color of what's left of my hair. Right? That my gene pool dictates. I inherit those realities. So to become a Kohen, there are certain things you inherit. But what does it take to become a Kohen Gadol? What does it take to become an Aaron? What does it take to become the best version of yourself? What it takes is flowers, buds, and then almonds. What it takes is a willingness to put in effort, a willingness to work hard, a willingness to schwitz, and a willingness to recognize that you don't just get results in life. Even God doesn't just create almonds. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu first creates flowers, then creates a bud, and then creates, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have, 1, 2, 3, almonds, ta-da, there's almonds. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there's a process, and the process requires effort, and effort sometimes bears almonds and sometimes it doesn't. Says Rav Moshe, we often think only thing that matters in this world are the almond results, and the flower and bud efforts are only a necessary evil, a necessary step in order to get there, but they have no value to themselves. Baruch Hu tells us not true. The effort has value, even if it never yields almonds, for the simple reason that the effort in life is really the only thing that you control. You never really control the almond results. It's a hard lesson to hear, and it's a hard lesson to absorb and to internalize, but it's true. The only thing I could control in life in this world is the amount of effort I expend for any life initiative. The results, those are all in the hands of the Ribono Shel Olam. And we can appreciate Rav Moshe's statement, because the truth is, we've all had situations in life where we've put in effort and yet did not get the desired result. So sometimes you think that if you put in effort and you don't get the desired result, that you failed. But you know, as we go through life, we know that it's not true. Because every time I put effort into something, in some way I am enriched. Whether it's because I learned something about myself, I discover co-host abilities that I never knew that I had. Maybe I discover something new about life. And sometimes in life, when you put in the effort and you don't get the results that you want, you realize sometime later on in the road, down the road, that those would not have been the right results for you. You know, my friends, sometimes in life, we think we want something. We think we need something. We think something is correct. Sometimes you get it and you realize that you are wrong. Sometimes you don't get it and you realize afterwards, Baruch Hashem, I'm so happy that that never materialized. But I'm enriched from the experience. I'm enriched from the effort. Effort is not simply a means to an end. Effort is not something where a person would say, oh, you know what? If I could just get the almonds without the effort, it would be so much better. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us, greatness is found in the effort. You know what there's between a Kohen and a Kohen Gadol is? A Kohen doesn't have to put in any effort. He is what he is just because of his parents. Kohen Gadol is a person who chooses to take that which he has inherited and to build on it and to invest in himself and to push himself and to grow and to do and to accomplish and to expend effort in order to become something even greater. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu brought about this miracle through the staff in this way. And this is why the staff was hidden away with the Aron. Because what does the Aron represent? The Ark, which housed the tablets, the broken tablets, the whole tablets, the jar of Mun. The Ark itself was like a little, almost like a spiritual time capsule that had everything in there necessary in order to be a successful person. It has ultimately, again, the Kruvim on top. The Kruvim, the two Kruvim, the cherub-like figures, a man and a woman, or two young children facing each other, representing the need to create beautiful, meaningful, and harmonious life relationships. Right? The tablets inside representing Torah as the foundation of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The poles on the side of the Aron telling us we have to take our Torah spirituality wherever we go. The Mun, the jar of Mun inside of the Ark, representing that our Parnassah, our livelihood, is wholly and totally in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the staff of Aaron. The staff of Aaron, not just with the almonds, but with the flowers and with the buds to remind us that it's not just the results in life that matter. In fact, the results are almost never dependent on you. The only thing you control is the effort, the flowers and the buds. Never be scared to put in the effort. Never be scared to work hard. And even if you don't get what you thought you would get, even if your plans don't materialize the way you thought they would, even if you don't get the almonds, you'll always have the flowers. You'll always have the buds. This is the eternal lesson that Kadosh Baruch Hu was trying to convey to us. And so, my dear friends, may we be Zochem Yirat Hashem, not just to appreciate the almonds of success, the almonds of completion, may we be Zochem Yirat Hashem to find the value in the flowers and the buds. To recognize that our success as Jews and our success as human beings is not solely rooted in the almonds of accomplishment, but rather it is fundamentally rooted in the flowers and the buds of life initiative, life work, and our ability and our willingness to invest ourselves in Emir Tzashem getting a little bit closer to the almonds of completion. Wishing everyone a good and Erev Shabbos, and a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh.